The following program is sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries.
Together, we're inspiring people to live for Jesus. If you're looking for more in life, to live with purpose and peace, to make a difference for your family and those in need around the world, Jesus is the answer. And our mission is to simply point you to Him. You're watching Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin.
I'm reading today from Job chapter 38. I am so thankful for the fact that our new book is really getting out there. We've had to order another 30,000 copies, and I thank the Lord for that. I'm continuing that series this morning. This will be the last message, unless the Lord leads me different, that I'll preach. But I think what's amazing is that this is connecting with people, because if you ever begin to pray short prayers — that's the name of the book, The Power of Short Prayers — then thank you very much, and to God be the glory. It's great if it makes you pray. It's great if it connects you to Jesus. That's it. And you cannot read this book and it not make you want to pray. It's impossible. And that's what I like about it, and that's what I believe in about it. But I pray today that what I share is going to really speak to somebody's heart, because it's important. And I'm going to show you what to do when your prayers don't seem to be working. Why are prayers not working? I prayed about it and prayed about it and prayed about it, and nothing happens. I'm discouraged about it. I want to show you something that I share some of what I'm going to share today in the book. Job chapter 38 and verse 22. Have you entered the treasury of snow, or have you seen the treasury of hail, which I have reserved for the time of trouble? Notice snow, and he's talking about hail, meaning frozen rain. He says, which I have reserved for the time of trouble. Reserve what? Snow. For the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war. Verse 26, to cause it to rain on the land where there is none. To verse 27, to satisfy desolate waste, to cause to spring forth the growth of tender grass. Verse 30, the waters harden like stone, and the surface of the deep is frozen. So you're wondering, what in the world is that about? Well, I want to preach to you for a few moments on having, creating, building a treasury, a reserve. Another word for treasury would be a reservoir, a reserve of snow. In Isaiah 55 and verse 8, it says that the word of God is powerful, and he said it will not return void. He said, your thoughts are not my thoughts, and your ways are not my ways, and my words, as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven — just remember that — and does not return there, but the water on the earth to bring forth and to cause buds and cause the seeds to grow, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. What? So shall what? The word be. It'll be like snow from heaven. It'll be — there's a comparison that he's drawing to snow and to God's word. And even when we speak God's word, when we read God's word, when we pray God's word, it's a type. It's in this text, it is a symbol of snow. And I'll show you that more and more as we go. I love the scripture in Isaiah 45 and verse 3, I'll give you treasures of darkness and hidden secrets in secret places. I love that verse. I've always loved that verse. I see it as the word of God is hidden treasure that you don't get unless God opens your eyes with revelation. I feel like this is one of those messages today. It is something that if you get a hold of it, it can change everything. And my main text today is Job 38 in verse 22. Have you entered into the treasury of snow, which I, God says, reserve. I reserve it. If there's snow that someone has piled up and built up in prayer, I have a place there. And have you entered into the treasury of snow, which I have reserved? Notice what it's for the day of trouble, for the day of battle. It's a metaphor about snow and prayer. For just as snow collects, one single snowflake doesn't have much power. If it hits the asphalt or hits the road, there's no transfer truck that's going to be deterred by one snowflake. But if enough of them get together and stick together, they can cause a Big Mac truck to go off of a cliff. It's collective prayer. It's not just one, but it's a little bitty tiny thing. You know, a snowflake, this is a fact, it has 6 points. It is the Star of David. It perfectly, every snowflake that falls forms the Star of David, like on the Israeli flag. And he said, your prayers are like snowflakes that collects and stores up and piles up. Snow collects, and if enough of them collect, they become mountain peaks up high in the clouds and in the mountains of the highest mountains. And it builds a huge reservoir. And when the season changes, the snow changes, the snow begins to melt. And suddenly that part of your life that was dried up, that was withered up, that there was no breakthroughs coming, if you have stored up enough snow, when the season changes and the river begins to flow down with life-giving water, it will hit your life only if you've been storing up in the treasury of snow. You have to understand that snow collects, snow joins together, it piles up, it gathers. And it starts as a small thing, and that's what I've been preaching and writing about, the power of short prayers. You just keep praying for those children. Keep praying for that situation. Keep praying for deliverance for someone that you love. And at first, it just seems so far away, but every time you pray it, every time you ask God for it, don't get weary in doing right and doing good, and prayer is doing good, and labor. Prayer is labor. But when you pray, keep doing it, for you will reap if you faint not, storing up snow. And notice that the best climate for snow is cold, is the atmosphere of cold. And when things are cold, and when things are in the winter, the trees are dead and everything's dead, that's the time that is most conducive to storing up prayers. Nothing's happening, nothing's alive, it's cold. I'm in a spiritual winter. It doesn't feel like anything's happening. That's when you store up snow. And God keeps up with every one of those snowflakes, and one is joined to another and another. And in some cases, some of you are only here because a granny or somebody in your family, a mother, a father, they would not give up. And even after they died, they had built a snow peak over your head. And when things were right, and God knows when the timing is right, don't ever give up on anybody. I don't care how bad they look. I don't care how messed up. I don't care what kind of winter they're in, and they're down to skin and bones. I will not give up praying. I will store up prayers for even generations to come, because I know God says that's how my word will be. It will not return void. Every prayer matters. Every prayer is a snowflake connected to another. And sometimes, for like in my family and in Sharice's family, for generations, I believe that many of the blessings that I walk in was piled up in prayer peaks generations before I ever got here. If you don't have a collection of yet to be answered prayers, then you must not expect the flow in the river of God that brings life to hit your life. You have to keep praying yet to be answered prayers. And if they haven't happened yet, stack up some more, collect some more, send up some more. Pray about it while you're driving. Pray about it while you're doing the laundry. Pray about it while you're going through the drive-thru. Pray about it and keep storing it up. It's snow. It's the treasury, the scripture said. Job said, I found out something about God. I'm in a winter in my life. I've lost so much. He lost his health, his wealth, his children. He was devastated, but he said, I've got a treasury of snow that's been stored up for the time of battle, for the day of trouble. You know where rivers come from? They come from mountain peaks where snow is piled up. And when the snow begins to melt, the river begins to flow. If there's no snow piled up, there'll be no river that flows. No snow, no flow. The more you snow and you send snowflakes of prayer up, just pray for that son, pray for that daughter. I told the Lord, I was praying for one of mine on the ride home. And I said, how long, oh Lord? Because I'm believing for them to get a breakthrough. It's nothing bad, it's good. But I said, how long, Lord? I just want you to know I'm going to keep storing it up until avalanche on their life. I'm expecting to get a call any day. Hallelujah. I've been praying on that one for years and years. No snow, no flow. When you begin to pray and seek God, when you begin to store up the Word of God, when you begin to store up even the Bible, when you're reading it, it's snow. He said, so shall my word be. It's like the snow. Keep storing it up. Keep going to that book. Don't get weary. Keep doing it. His word and prayers are like snow that collect in the storehouse, and the river will begin to flow. I claim your deliverance. I claim your healing, God. Don't get weary because you keep getting bad doctor reports. In the name of Jesus, just declare his word. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and by his stripes I am healed. I just sent up a snowflake. Hallelujah. Keep claiming his promises over your provision and over the miracles that you need. There are times when it looks like nothing is happening, when it seems like nothing is taking place, when what you're doing is you're storing up in that time, forming mountain peaks of spiritual snow. You're filling the treasury of snow with something that when the season is right and God's timing is then that he says, I will send the flow of the river of life in Jesus' name. A snow peak. Build it up and build it up and build it up. That's why in 1 Thessalonians 5, in verse 16 and 17, it says, rejoice always. Listen to this. And then he said, pray without ceasing. Pray what keeps sending up snowflakes. Pray without ceasing. God, give me a baby. Somebody wants to have, God, give me a baby. And people laugh at you. They laughed at Sarah. They laughed at Mary, the virgin. Oh, look. They laughed at Hannah. She couldn't have children. They laugh. Keep sending them up. You don't know what God can do. It doesn't hurt to ask. Just keep asking. It's never too late with God. I've seen God defy. Thank God for medicine. Thank God for our wonderful doctors and nurses and people who keep us healthy and help us all that they can with their amazing ability and talents. But I still believe in healing. I still believe that with long life, he can satisfy us and show us his salvation. Praise God. Daniel, for 21 days in Daniel chapter 10, he sent up snowflakes of fasting. snowflakes of prayer, snowflakes of God. You said in the prophecy and in your word that you would revisit the nation of Israel, and it's not happening. And he didn't stop on the first day. He didn't stop on the 10th day. He didn't stop on the 20th day. God told him 21 days, and he went 21 days. And on the 21st day, here comes the snow that's turned into a river, and an angel of God stands, and he says, I have come to give you this word. And he began to tell him what God would do in his time and in his generation. I couldn't help but think about Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, who built a snow peak. He built a collective, the Bible said in Acts chapter 10 that he built such a memorial before God, a snow peak, a glacier, a spiritual glacier. This is a man who was a Gentile. Jews only had been exposed to the power of the gospel, but this man watched from the outside. And at that time, there was no Christian church. You and I, Gentiles, were shut out of the covenant. But here comes a Gentile man who does two things. Your prayers and your giving have come up as a memorial. You have created, year after year, praying even though you didn't even know who you're praying to. You were praying for, if there's any God out there, bless my family, bless my home. And as you, the angel comes and says, your prayers and your giving have come up in heaven. They burst through the, I'm going to preach it like I want to, it's my sermon. I can see them bursting through the streets of gold. Hallelujah. Coming up like a memorial, like you see in Washington, D.C., the Washington Monument. Boom, and all of a sudden God looks and he sees this memorial, and God says, send Simon Peter to go to that man's house and preach and let salvation come to the Gentiles. Think of that. We are here today because a man named Cornelius started praying prayer after prayer after prayer, and it formed a mountain peak, a snow peak, and when the snow started melting, it fell on his house. If you read the rest of that story, the Holy Spirit fell on his house and everyone that was in there when Simon Peter went and preached in that home, and I couldn't help but think. And even then, that river that he started is still flowing at Free Chapel this Sunday morning and wherever you are at, because of one man who kept praying short prayers that stacked up, that piled up. Hallelujah. What I'm saying to you is keep praying for your babies. Prayers never die. God puts them in veils. In the book of Revelation, he said in Revelation chapter 5 that your prayers go into a golden veil. And when that vessel gets full, then an angel turns it over and there comes the pouring out. Some of you, the greatest tragedy of prayerlessness is the unemployment of angels. Some of you have angels in heaven and they're sitting around doing nothing because you don't ever fill up the prayer bowls in heaven. But if you keep praying and you fill it up, God will tip it over and then the angels of the Lord come. Oh, that don't sound. I don't care if you believe it or not. I believe in the supernatural. And if you're going to win the battle in the heavenlies, you're going to have to store up some snow prayers. You're going to have the treasury of snow. The entire Gentile population owes a great gratitude to a man named Cornelius who just kept praying. We're still in the flow today from the power that he stored up in his prayers. Especially when nothing's happening, that's when you are to pray. Your prayers are not in vain. Now, I want to close with this and listen. I mean, you just never know when you're one hallelujah away from the prayer bowl being full, from the mountain peak. You ever seen that? Those avalanches, and then there's a break, and then all of a sudden, all heaven breaks loose. In Psalms 147 in verse 15, it says, He sent forth His commandment upon the earth. He sent forth His commandment in verse 15 upon the earth. His word runs very swiftly. Watch. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts out His hail like morsels. And that hail is the frozen rain. He's doing a comparison of frozen things and prayers as snow. This is the great question. Who can stand before His cold? Who can stand it long enough? Who will keep praying long enough that even though it's cold and it's not happening and it doesn't seem like I'm getting the breakthrough, but I'm not, your prayers that are unanswered are, if God's not answering them now, you are storing up a mountain peak in that area that if you will keep praying, even God's will, that's something to pray constantly. It's something I pray every day of my life. Not my will, thine be done. I go through the Lord's Prayer. I go through all kinds of prayers in my prayer place. I love my prayer place. It's my favorite place on the earth. And I pray there every day. And I know that He hears my prayers. Hallelujah. And He says, who can stand the cold? Who will not give up when things get cold spiritually? Who will not stop prematurely from asking because it didn't come in a day, a week, a month, a year, or 10 years? Who can stand the cold? If they'll just keep praying, if they'll just keep praising, if they'll just keep worshiping, if they'll just keep standing on the Word. Store up for the cold season. When it gets cold, that's the time to store up. The greater the snow, the greater the flow. When the breakthrough comes, it's going to be quick. I used to go, I close with this, but I used to go to, I don't know, many of you probably have never heard of it, but you can do some research. There was a revival that broke out in Pensacola, Florida, and it had 3.5 million people in a local church like this go through in 3 years and get born again. That they documented 3.5 million. It's pretty incredible. And it was the most amazing thing. And I went during it, and when the evangelist Steve Hill was there, and Pastor Kilpatrick, our friend, Pastor Kilpatrick, a great man of God. But and then there came a time when Steve Hill needed to travel, and they started asking me to come the last year or so. Anthony, I think you went with me almost every Friday night. We would go down to Brownsville and I would preach that revival, and it would be a crowd bigger than this every Friday night. They would stand hours outside. And for over a year, I preached that revival on a Friday night, and then Pastor Kilpatrick would do it Saturday and Sunday. And I asked him one time, I said, we'd had a glorious moment. I still remember some of those services. It was just unbelievable. I remember walking out and leaving to come home and preach here, and there would be thousands of people at midnight still in the building. And it wasn't about the preacher, it was about the atmosphere of worship that was so unbelievable. And so I asked Brother Kilpatrick one time, I said, what happened? And I'm gonna just sum it up. I jotted down some of the things that he told me, but the bottom line was he was in the most discouraging season of his life, Pastor Kilpatrick. And he said that they were squabbling. His exact words, I wrote it down. I found it in some of my notes. He said the congregation was squabbling. That's an old timer country. Squabbling means fussing. Some of you were doing it with your wife. You know what I mean. When you pulled in the parking lot, squabbling. Isn't that a word? Squabbling and fussing and fighting in the church. The church that he was pastoring was having fights and people jealous and people mad with one another. And he said, I canceled Sunday night service, and people got furious about that because he wanted to call a prayer meeting. And he called a prayer meeting, and he said, now I want to give you a couple of the details. He said he set up in the sanctuary flags from the American flag, Israel flag and some of the nations that were on his heart. But he said to start praying over these flags. And he set them up and he would ask the people. And he said the first one that he had, he only had three people show up besides he and his wife. And they walked from flag to flag and they prayed for the nations. And it was no big deal. And so they were just going through this. And finally, the prayer meetings started getting bigger and bigger on Sunday nights. Big crowds of people. By that, I mean maybe 200 or 300 people. But that's a good-sized prayer meeting. But they got to Father's Day, and he said, we just had so much trouble. And he said, I was so discouraged. This is important to hear. I was so discouraged. And he said, that went on for a year, that kind of prayer meeting went on for a year. And he still, the stuff was going on in the church. And he said, I was so discouraged that I called up Steve Hill, the evangelist, and said, I'm so depressed, so discouraged. I'm so weary. Will you just come preach? And he said, it was Father's Day. Father's Day. So Steve Hill comes in on Father's Day to preach for a worn out, broke down, tired of it all, weary pastor who had been praying, though, at God's instruction for over a year. And he said, when the man finished preaching, he said, Steve started acting funny, and this evangelist, and he, whoo, I feel something. He said that. He kept saying those words. And Brother Kilpatrick said, I was standing, and I'm glad I wrote it down. He said, I was standing, and he said, all of a sudden, he said, this is his exact words, and I thought about it when I was getting this little message together. He said, I felt, you know, the book of Ezekiel 47 talks about the river of God, and it started flowing, and it was ankle deep, and then it was knee deep, and then it was waist deep, and then it was so powerful that it just swept people away. And he said, I was standing there and people started coming to the altar. And I sat up there and I thought, well, God's in this place. Something's going on here this morning. What's going on? And he said, all of a sudden I felt going over my feet like a river. He said, I felt like a creek, like I had stepped into a creek and I felt the river of God sweeping over my feet. And he said, it buckled my knees. And I fell to my knees. And he said, when I looked up, it was 3 hours later and not one person had left. What would we do at Free Chapel if God decided that all the prayers of decades and generations, there's a mountain peak called the mountain peak for the last days. In the last days, saith God, the snow peak that even the prayers of the saints who have gone before us in heaven have been stored up waiting for this time. Do you believe Jesus is coming again soon? Do you believe the trumpet is going to sound? Do you believe we shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye? Do you believe that mysteriously millions, do you see the headlines? Do you see that they're saying that there are UFOs? Even presidents are saying that this could be true. Do you see how nothing's going to shock society, especially when millions and millions are missing? Oh, I just believe that we need to know that there's a melting going on in the heavenlies and all those prayers, snowflakes that have been collected in the treasury of snow in the last days, saith God. Watch the wording, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh and your sons and your daughters. And I don't know how, and I don't know when, but I do believe that the river's already ankle deep. I believe we're running out of time. I believe the Lord is coming soon. I'm going to be preaching about that more and more. I'm going to do a whole series on Jesus is coming back again. I am. I'm doing it. I told him to get ready for it. Hallelujah! Somebody throw your hands up and shout about it just a minute. Thank you. when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing. But you know what I sense? Is you don't need to get weary now. You may be like Brother Kilpatrick and feel like I have prayed about it and prayed about it and prayed about my family and prayed about this and prayed about that. Not one of those prayers has been wasted. It's been stacking up, piling up. Keep praying over that son. Keep praying over that family. Keep praying over that marriage. Keep praying over that, because the river is coming. An avalanche spiritually is hitting the world. And he's going to pour out his spirit on. And that's why we must be steadfast in prayer. I've done a lot of things wrong. But one thing I have always been consistent in is praying. Reach over and lay your hand on somebody's shoulder. Say, in the name of Jesus, I speak life. I speak water. I speak the river to your dry spell, to the dry places where it seems like you're in a wilderness. The river's gonna find you. It's gonna find your children. It's gonna find your family. In the name of Jesus, I speak life, because the Bible said in that Ezekiel 47, in everything the river touches lives. Lives, lives, lives. I speak life. I speak life to your career, to your business. I speak life to your properties. I speak life. I speak life to your homes, to your dreams. I speak life to the marriage that you don't have yet, but you want to be married. I speak life to that. Don't you give up on that. Ask him. Remind God of what he said. His word is like snow, and when you send it out, it won't return void. And you know, when you, one that you ought to say a lot if you're single, is you said, put it back on him, you said it's not good for man or woman to be alone. So Lord, I don't like it. Now if you like it, don't pray that. Just be happy all by yourself. That's great. And God gives grace for that. But if you're not happy about it, keep praying about it. He's going to come down the river on a canoe, hallelujah, smiling at you. Hallelujah. Feel the Lord in this place. I felt him all day long. I feel like I could run through a troop and jump over a wall right now. Does anybody feel victory? Not defeat, not depression, not discouragement. The river is coming. The river is coming. Let's stand up on our feet and give God a mighty praise. Give him a mighty praise. That's a snowflake when you praise him. Now look at me. I just feel like putting it out there and saying that somebody's been praying for you. And it's time. It's time to respond. So if you're in this room or you're in any of the rooms there where you're worshiping, and you just need to feel that life-giving river that is Jesus. He said the Holy Spirit would be like a well, a spring of living water. The Holy Spirit is ready to touch you today. It's on this church, and the devil can't do one thing about it. And when the enemy comes in, actually, it ought to stop right there. Like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against it. So if you're in this room today and you need a miracle, we believe there is a mountain peak of snow and fasting and prayer. If you need deliverance, if you need salvation, just bow your head a minute. Pastor, pray for me. I need to get right with God. You're preaching to me today. If that's you, throw your hand up unashamed. I want to see it all over this room. Amazing. 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 Every one of you that threw your hand up, slip out of your seat and walk down here. This is not something strange, and this is not something you need to bypass. This is your morning. The river is flowing in this house for a changed life. Come quickly. Come quickly. Come backslider. Come lost. Come searcher. Come seeker. You've been looking for something that's real, something that's alive. I believe America, I believe the world is ready for the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ like never before. This is beautiful. Come on, get them, get in down here. Get in. Come quick. The King's business takes haste. Pastors are coming at every campus. Isn't this amazing? Come on, come on, come on. Come on, clap your hands, church, and give God praise. Heaven is taking a praise break. Angels are taking a praise break. Glory to God. Send them that way. Hallelujah. Come on, come on, come on, come on. They're still coming, and I'm going to wait on them. Wonderful, 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 wonderful. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, this is your morning. This is your day. This is what we prayed for. This is what we fasted for. Come on, come on, come on. Here they come, here they come, here they come. To God be the glory. Praise the mighty name of Jesus. You can get it right. You can get it under the blood. You can leave here washed and cleansed. Pastors, lead people over this way. Lead people so that we can get them down here. Thank you. Praise the mighty name of Jesus. Praise God. God bless you. Come on. Anyone else? Anyone else? God bless you. Come on. God bless you. Come on. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? To God be the glory. Let's raise our hands toward heaven. This is important. This is big. This is a moment that will mark you for the rest of your life. He's heard your cry. He's heard your cry. No man comes to the Father but by the Spirit drawing them. The reason you walk down that aisle is the Holy Spirit started a work before you ever stepped out into the aisle. And He doesn't start things He can't finish. So pray this, everybody say, Jesus, You're the Savior of the world, and I believe in You. Thank You for taking my sins to the cross. And today, thank You that a river of life is flowing. Somebody piled up a snow peak over my head. It's followed me all this time. And now I feel a washing in that river, a cleansing in that river, power in that river. The flow is in that river of life, and I receive it. I'm cleansed. I'm washed on the inside. I'm free in Jesus' mighty name.
This program has been sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries. We hope you've enjoyed this teaching by Jensen Franklin, and thank you for your continued support of this ministry. Your prayers and financial support make these programs possible. For more information about this message and other ministry resources, visit us online at jensenfranklin.tv.